This is real news. Where is it? I'm Peter Laufer, co-director of the University of Oregon UNESCO Crossings Institute. One of the things Charles Butler teaches at the University of Oregon School of Journalism and Communication is journalism to incoming students, what journalism is and how to navigate this profession and thus the truth and the consequences. So, Charlie, how do you teach that differentiation, fact and fiction, and how do you teach students to recognize that which is fiction and disguised as fact? I think if we approach this, it may help news consumers in general.
You know, Peter, it's a question that is really tricky to answer, as you know. And I think for me, it's you're often working with, you know, freshmen and sophomore students who whose breadth of journalism is pretty limited. So in a way, we're lucky because you kind of can shape them right at the start. But I think the big thing for me as a journalist and as an instructor is the importance of reporting and having multiple sources and showing students that, you know, not every reporter is going to get it right, but hopefully they've made the best effort by talking to enough sources. And then you as a journalist slash reader have to look at the sourcing and say, is it sufficient? Does it feel like the reporter's done their job of talking to multiple people? And that's where I guess the discussion begins between truth or fact or fiction, is that has the work been done by the reporter?
So this puts a burden on the news consumer that just is the reality of life and probably has always existed throughout journalism, that the news consumer has to be aware of exactly what you just said. Not just the story as story, but where did this story come from?
Right. I mean, I think they should be, but probably most consumers aren't aware of the process of the making of journalism and what is entailed. And, you know, during this pandemic, I've been home watching more TV news, and I can see why the local TV news reporter has a difficult job, because they have a small window of a couple of hours to do a story, you know, getting multiple sourcing. And I, as a, maybe a, someone who studied this stuff, can see the challenges that person faces. But the regular consumer, I don't know if they realize that, hey, did this person talk to X, Y, or Z along the way, and is making up those decisions that that a journalist has to make. So I guess my thing is, the process is really difficult, but does the consumer understand that process? And I suspect most consumers don't.
And so the fact that most consumers don't, if you're correct, does that make the general public even more susceptible to being manipulated by misinformation, disinformation, propaganda?
Yes. Short answer, yes. I mean, you know, they just don't, and they're also getting it from multiple, maybe the better consumers are the ones who are going to different sources for their information. So maybe they can, you know, theoretically triangulate all the stuff they're learning and find the truth in there. But, you know, again, we're all pressed for time, and most people are probably geared towards one source of information and getting it straight from there and believing that must be the truth if it's so-called media.
And then is there an inclination for all of us to seek that which feels comfortable, that we tend to agree with, so that makes it easier for manipulators to do their dirty work because we want to hear what we want to hear?
I mean, the statistics show that people are going to their favorite news source. So yes, I guess that in that sense, we can, the media can manipulate it. I hope I'm trying to feel that the better news sources that I'm familiar with, and again, I could be manipulated as well, but the ones that have been around for a long time, who've shown a staying power, are doing the right kind of journalism, that if you're going to them, usually then you are getting good stuff. And I guess from that sense, I'm talking about places like the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. They've been around a long time. They have very good editors. And I would hope that they're doing the kind of journalism that we are teaching students to do, of getting a lot of sourcing and getting eyes on it. I think the one thing that I worry about is that there's this just lack of editing at a lot of places, that the questioning of a reporter. I do feel that there are still places like the Times and the Journal that have that layer of editing that allows good sourcing to be vetted and bad sourcing to be vetted. But there are also lots of places where that editing is just being curtailed.
And of course, you're talking about dinosaurs, the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal in many respects, and the vast majority of our students. And by extrapolation, that means an awful lot of people around the country and around the world are getting their news from where?
From where? No, they're getting it from Twitter. They're getting it
exactly.
From YouTube. I mean, they're getting it from Quick Bites that works with their kind of their style.
Yeah, and so that then reinforces perhaps prejudices and misinformation, disinformation, and outright falsehood. And so as a final thought, how do you suggest the average Joe and Jane who are not immersed in journalism as you are and are going about their daily and just want to know what's going on, what do they do?
That's a great question. And I think it's one that we're all struggling with. And I think media companies are struggling with, because we're seeing them thin out. What do they do? I guess you gotta, if you're really a citizen of the United States, of the world, you gotta fight the fight and, you know, look for other sources, keep reading. There are great publications out there still. You know, a dinosaur that I think is doing a great job is Time Magazine. And, you know, it gives you that synopsis of the week. It gives you a synopsis of a lot of different things. If you can combine that with daily reading of the, you know, larger media, which is all available, as well as local media, you can become hopefully informed. Whether it makes you perfect, no way. We're all manipulated. And we all know that you can spend every hour of your day reading through it, and somebody's going to come up with some kind of slight way to change the story. Also, I guess, talk to people, you know, converse and not be siloed in your own little measures of this is what I believe, and I'm only going to talk to people who believe the same way.
Yeah,
that's harder to do than maybe. Yeah, I mean, converse.
Talk to people that with whom you disagree.
Yeah, and have the open mind to maybe, you know, change your mind and or at least be aware of the other options out there.
Yeah, one other trick I think that helps is if you can check out the news reporting of a news event that you experienced yourself, and then see how you feel about the coverage in any particular outlet, and you knew or know what happened, and then cross-check it against what they say happened, and it might make you comfortable or otherwise.
Ah, for sure. I mean, all you got to do is watch a sporting event one night and then look at the coverage the next day and see what did that reporter or that sports anchor pick out as the events that really, truly mattered. And you know, a lot of us are sports fans, so it's a very easy thing to do, like you just mentioned.
Charlie Butler, who is, we can hope, creating those news reporters, or at least helping them create themselves, who will be telling us what's going on in the world or what they think is going on in the world in the days, months, and years to come. Thank you for joining us here at Real News.
Thanks, Peter.
You've been listening to Real News. Where is it? I'm Peter Laufer, co-director of the University of Oregon UNESCO Crossings Institute. Join us again for more on Real News.